Okay, how's that? Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you just fine.
Okay. I'm speaking with Dr. Amy Doshi of Rady Children's Hospital in San Diego, California, about a palliative care program that's been developed there. But Dr. Doshi, can we start by maybe you could briefly tell me a little bit about your medical training in pediatrics and hospital medicine and what your current position involves?
Sure. So I did my pediatrics residency at UCSD here in San Diego, and the majority of our training was at Rady Children's Hospital. And then following my residency, I did a one-year-long pediatric hospital medicine fellowship, also here at Rady Children's Hospital. And during that fellowship, we have time to sort of develop a chosen area of focus, and my chosen area of focus is palliative care. So while learning how to be a better hospitalist and learning about all the competencies involved in being a hospitalist, I was able to then apply that and also take time to learn about palliative care, working with the folks at San Diego Hospice as mentors.
Mm-hmm.
And then since that ended in 2008, I've been working here at the Children's Hospital as a hospitalist, and throughout that time have been working on developing a palliative care program for the hospital, and as of September of 2009, was given a medical directorship in order to help move that along.
Medical directorship of the palliative care program?
Yes.
Okay. I want to talk about the program in more detail, but maybe we should start with just how you became interested in palliative care. Is there a story there? What impelled you down that path?
Sure. I think there were probably two forces that got me there. During my residency, near the tail end, I did a hospice rotation, and it was only a two-week rotation, but I came out of that rotation with sort of the shocking revelation that nobody ever really taught us about hospice or palliative care throughout our residency, despite the fact that we have patients who are dying or have serious illness in the NICU and the PICU, when we're rotating on oncology, when we're on the inpatient wards. And so my original thought when I started my fellowship was to develop some sort of way to incorporate palliative care into the residence curriculum here. And then as I look back further, I think my own personal spiritual background is very much grounded in nonviolence.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I began to see some of the suffering that our patients go through as, bordering on violence at times, something maybe that was being inflicted. And that was, I felt at times, a result of just us not feeling comfortable having the conversations with families to help them make choices for their child that they feel will best benefit them. And so I think working in palliative medicine became a way to sort of help things in that, that bigger picture as far as minimizing suffering and mm-hmm. sort of the perceived almost violence that we mm-hmm. that some of these kids were experiencing.
Okay. Well-intentioned, but perhaps not fully thought through, just the usual medical, the usual treatment courses that maybe don't help people.
Right. I mean, the intentions are always, of course, to help the child and the family. I think a big part of the reason that sometimes we inadvertently provide patients and families with options that aren't in their best interest does come from just sort of the lack of training that's been there so far.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not trained about what the options are or how to talk to families about the options, then it's not terribly surprising that those conversations might not be happening.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the palliative care program that you've been involved in building. And this is an audience of hospitalists. I think they're interested in kind of the nuts and bolts of program building and what were some of the challenges and opportunities and hurdles that were part of building this program.
Okay. So for one, I think it was kind of a nice pairing, being in hospital medicine and then having this interest in palliative care. I think there's a natural bridge between the two in that often hospitals hospitalists are taking care of chronically ill patients, patients with very serious illness, patients with terminal illness. And then just as a part of our daily work, we're used to working in interdisciplinary teams and recognize the value of that. And then we tend to be already involved in quality improvement, patient safety, efficiency, those kinds of things within the hospital. And a lot of those things overlap very nicely with palliative care. So it kind of worked out nicely. I think that those are the two areas that called to me. So as I mentioned, when I first sort of got involved with this, my intention was more to develop an educational intervention, but then it became clear that something bigger would serve the residents, the patients, and the everybody at the hospital better. So out of that came the idea of developing a palliative care program.
Okay.
So first step was sort of to myself go get some education and training in palliative care. So I did that at San Diego Hospice, and then there's a number of programs available to learn about palliative care. I participated in the Center to Advance Palliative Care's three-day training on how to build a palliative care program at a hospital.
Okay.
And so that the information I learned at that training now 3 years ago continues to be extremely useful. It's a very practical course as far as, you know, how to build your case, what to do about fundraising, how to write a business plan, what to say to the various audiences that you will face. And I think a lot of this isn't things we learn along the way of our medical training, and so that course does a very nice job of setting you up for that, and then you get a year of mentorship. So that was, I think, huge in sort of giving me some sort of a background to even begin this, at times, overwhelming process.
Yes.
And then the other piece was, you know, learning about palliative care itself. So I did that at San Diego Hospice. I went to some retreats through the Initiative for Pediatric Palliative Care. And then last year completed, Harvard Medical School has a program in palliative care education and practice. And that's an intensive two-week course in Harvard itself, where you learn all about the nuts and bolts of palliative care, communication, symptom management, all of that, as well as how to teach palliative care and how to start a program. And then we had 6 months in between where we all had to work on a project at our own institution. So my project was to develop this inpatient palliative care consult service at the hospital. So again, we benefited from the mentorship of the faculty in that course. I was still in touch with the folks from CAPC, and then I'm fortunate in that many members of my division here in hospital medicine have leadership roles within the hospital in quality management, inpatient services, former chief of staff, ethics, so on and so forth. And so that sort of gave me an in, I think, to a lot of these venues to talk about palliative care, to push it as a cause, and to get the ball rolling as far as, you know, getting support from key advocates within the hospital for this very important program.
Yeah. Did you find with some of the training that you were taking that your pediatric focus fit well or not with sort of general palliative care training and education that you were getting?
I think in general it does fit well with the palliative care education available. However, over the last few years there's definitely been more and more pediatric focused palliative care and palliative care education opportunities, and I think that those are also very important because there are things about both pediatric palliative care and the way pediatric hospitals work and how you build a program into a hospital that are very pediatric specific. So the Harvard course actually had a pediatric track, which I think was very helpful. And now actually the CAPC course also has a pediatrics track. They have a couple of pediatric leadership centers where you can take the course, and it's geared towards pediatrics.
All right. And so that's an opportunity that wasn't necessarily available 3 years ago when you were starting down this path.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, tell me a little bit about the program, how it works. You said it's a consultation service?
Yes. So at this point, it is an inpatient consultation service, and we're actually in our pilot phase. So it's being piloted on our step-down unit and on our medical surgical unit. And essentially, it operates much like any consult service in that, the attending of record remains the attending, but if the patient has a palliative care need, then they let me know and the palliative care team consults. So at this point, the palliative care team is myself, the social worker on the unit where the child is, and then a chaplain. And so any palliative care consult will generate a family meeting that is aimed at discussing what the family understands about their child's illness and what their goals of care are, and then from there it may branch out into any number of points, and then symptom management is a key part of the consult as well.
So, okay. All right. So the palliative care team includes a social worker and a chaplain who are already part of the hospital staff, but they sort of step into the palliative care role when a case arises.
Correct. And we are working on formalizing palliative care training for the social workers and the chaplains, and we're still working on having a larger nursing presence as a part of the team so we can be a fully multidisciplinary team.
Okay. So you might hope for every social worker and chaplain in the facility to be part of that training?
Yeah, we would hope that everybody has some sort of baseline level of training in palliative care, and then eventually, quite possibly, if there are a couple of social workers or chaplains who have a particular interest in this area, they could get further trained and we could have more of a dedicated team. But
okay.
We're really in our first 6 months of this program being operational, so.
Okay. So you're starting on two units, and the goal would be to expand to the rest of the hospital, depending on what kind of results you show from your pilot phase?
Yes, I mean, I think the need is there as far as, the patients who would benefit from palliative care already are all throughout the hospital, and I've spoken to each division in the hospital virtually, including the surgeons, about palliative care and what it is and which of their patients could benefit. And so at this point, we're during this pilot phase, we're trying to just continue to build the team, build the service, figure out the documentation, figure out, patient satisfaction, and demonstrate some results. And then as the team grows, we'll be able to expand our services to serve the entire hospital.
Okay. Are other hospitalists directly involved, or are you the only physician on this team at this point?
At this point, it's just me.
Is there interest among your colleagues?
Yes, there is. I think there's, I'm the only one formally doing this as a palliative care doctor in the hospital, but the reality is many of my colleagues are having these same conversations with families and are, attempting to address the symptoms and the decision making without sort of carrying that title.
Okay.
They're all, of course, very good at referring for all consultation
right.
as well.
All right, so there's routine palliative care and then there's specialist palliative care.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
I think for all hospitalists, palliative care, some level of competency is probably important.
Yeah.
Because it is so much of what we do without realizing it. And then certainly there's a need for people to have expertise and sort of the more detailed aspects of it.
Yeah, okay. Now, are you also still working as a hospitalist? So are there particular challenges or opportunities in dividing your time between these two roles?
So currently I have about 3/4 of my time where I work as a hospitalist,
yeah.
and the remainder I work doing this palliative care work. And so really the only challenge that I've faced in doing that so far is just, the patient's need you when they need you. And so if I'm on for, the hospitalist and a child needs a palliative care consultation, it sometimes involves a little bit of juggling to determine, how I'm going to see the 12 patients I'm seeing as a hospitalist and then also make time for the 2-hour family meeting for the palliative care consultation. So that's been the primary challenge I've run into. But I think as we grow and as we have really a full team, again, with the nursing presence or other physician involvement, that challenge will be easier met.
Okay. Now, I've heard that often hospital palliative care services grow faster than expected,
mm-hmm.
and that if it were to grow considerably, that would perhaps change your status or require rethinking?
My status in terms of?
Well, you're three quarters hospital medicine now and one quarter palliative care. That.
Yes. Yeah. So I think ultimately we do envision that I will, you know, go up on my palliative care time and concurrently be doing less hospitalist time. I do always want to be doing both. But certainly for the program to grow, and once it does grow, I think there will be more of my time devoted to the palliative care
Okay. Side
of things.
All right. And is your palliative care role really just business hours, or are you available after hours, weekends?
So for the time being, with the time that I have, I am currently just sort of during business hours, but, you know, the ultimate vision is to be truly 24/7 availability with multiple members of the team, so that while, you know, I might be the medical director, there's pulmonologists and ER doctors and other folks in the institution who have an interest in palliative care, and, you know, with us rotating on service and with a nursing presence, I think we'd have the scope to then truly be available 24/7, because that is the standard of care.
Okay. Okay, and are you working on trying to interest pulmonologists and other specialists, as you mentioned, or is that sort of the future dream?
In joining the team?
Yeah. To fill out the kind of role you're just describing, where you have other physician members of the team.
Sure. So I think the interest is there, and individuals have actually self-identified. The primary challenge right now is funding.
Okay.
For, you know, all the members of the team that we would want.
So to have hours to devote.
To get that funding in place, I'm working with our development office in order to do that. And then as that comes into place, then we'll be able to expand members of our team.
Okay. Do you see other hospitalists coming on board, or really just primarily specialists to round out the team?
I think there are, you know, a number of the hospitalists are very involved in bioethics and definitely have an interest in palliative care. And so we've talked about it. I don't know when the time comes, but, you know,
okay.
What they'll choose to do. But I think
Sure. There
is certainly a level of interest for the hospitalists as well.
All right. And is board certification in the subspecialty of hospice and palliative medicine, is that something you've done and or that other physicians at Rady Children's Hospital are interested in exploring?
Yes, so it is something that I have applied to do this year. I am working on convincing some of the other physicians here at the hospital to sit for the boards as well.
Okay, and you would sit for the boards this October, I guess, this
mm-hmm.
fall?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, do you have other words of inspiration about palliative care development for other pediatric hospitalists? How hard or easy it is, but how rewarding and challenging it is?
Sure. When I was a fellow, I spent some time calling around to all the well-developed pediatric palliative care programs, and Sarah Friebert at Akron Children's, who has an amazing program. I think her first words to me were to be patient, because it's a long road. but that doesn't mean that there's failure. So I think those are probably the biggest things that I've kept with, is it just takes time. But even in the 3 years that I've been doing this, we've come a long way. You know, I wouldn't have guessed that in 3 years we'd already be seeing patients. We saw 25 patients in these first 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think patience is key, but the work is certainly rewarding, and it, so many of us are driven by really wanting to make a difference for our patients, and I think that doing palliative care really gives you an opportunity to feel connected in that way, so
Okay. Definitely
worth the challenges.
Okay, and the long road is just administrative nuts and bolts, changing culture and attitudes. What are the stones in that road?
You know, certainly it does involve a cultural change, but you begin to see that pretty quickly once the consult service is present, and then just getting the administrative support and, of course, dollars. I think those are the three main things that contribute to the long road, but the road does move forward.
Okay.
It's only worth it as you're walking the journey, so.
Okay. Anything that I haven't asked that you think would be particularly interesting to members of the Society of Hospital Medicine, especially those with a pediatric focus?
No, I would say, I mean, the opportunities are out there. I think that, again, there's a nice overlap already between hospital medicine and palliative care, and it really does, as hospitalists, sometimes I think we might crave that continuity or that deeper connection with our patients as they're in and out of the hospital and we don't see them as outpatients, and it's another, palliative care is another way to sort of build that connection and that continuity, and so I would just say it's a great fit, and if somebody has any interest, it's worth at least exploring to see what level of involvement you would want. We definitely have a need.
Okay, great. Thank you, Dr. Doshi, for talking to us today.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.